Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always give thanks with joy because of your participation in the gospel from the first days until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for every one of you with all the grace of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what's best and what's pure, and be blameless for the day of Christ Jesus, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As results become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else, that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter, they do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the advancement of the gospel. The former, they preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I'll continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others more than yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you, to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He was in the very nature God, but he didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And he humbled himself even to death on a cross. And being found as appearance as a man, he did that. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of the Lord that I didn't run or labor in vain. And even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news from you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, but everyone looks out for their own interests. But you know that Timothy's proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him to you soon, as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come to you soon. But I think it's necessary for me to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, fellow worker, who was your messenger to me, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For I know how he longs for all of you and how distressed he is because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, almost to the point of death. But God showed mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him to you, so that when you see him, you too may be glad, and I may have felt less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He asked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Furthermore, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. No trouble for me to say the same thing to you again. And it's a safeguard to you. Watch out for those dogs. those evildoers, mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have plenty of reason for confidence in the flesh. Someone else thinks they have reason to be confident in their flesh. I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day. Member of the tribe of nation of Israel. Member of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to righteousness, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness, without fault according to the law. But whatever was a gain to me, I count as a loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from trying to follow the law, but a righteousness that comes from God the Father on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His suffering, and somehow to gain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all of this or arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to having taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, I strain for what is ahead. I press on toward the goal of winning the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take the same view. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already yet attained. Join together in following my examples, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For I've often told you before, and now tell you again with tears, too many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so they may be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, who I long for and love, my joy, my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and Strychne, be of the same mind in the Lord. And I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have worked by my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord. Let me say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by petition Let your prayers be known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's pure, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. And I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I've learned to be content whatever my circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my trouble. As you Pembertonians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I first set out from Macedonia, not one church shared in this with me except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus what you sent to me. It's a fragrant offering, pleasing sacrifice, acceptable to God. Almighty God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send their greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially members of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.